Right. Good to see you tonight. There's a lot of people here that I haven't seen before, but that's okay. A lot of people that I have. So it's good to be back. Good to see you. I know that a hurricane wiped out our last plans, but that's all right. God's in control, wouldn't you agree? Okay. You know, I'm going to try and be time conscious with you because we do have three meetings together, and I don't want to preach everything that I know tonight. So, yeah. Oh, and by the way, my wife is here tonight. This is my wife, Jody. And amen. So it's the first time she's been here. But want to just, in these meetings, I want to share with you what the Lord has shared with me. Would that be okay? I hope that that is going to be a blessing to you. So if you have your Bibles tonight, your Surface Pads, your iPhones, your Android phones, whatever you use, turn with me to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18 tonight. And I guess if I have a title for tonight's sermon, it would be, "It's Time to See What the Prophets Have Been Hearing." Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yes.
Aren't you just tired of hearing this and hearing that? And, you know, it's almost like our hope is way out in the future somewhere. I don't know about you, but I like tangible manifestation. Amen. And I got a feeling that if we'll just do what God is asking us to do when He's asking us to do it, the tangible manifestation is not a problem. In fact, I just want to tell you, I might reiterate this in every service that we have together. Coming over today, the Lord just began to speak to me. And He said, "Son," He said, you're gonna see people there tonight, and you're going to see people through the course of the weekend that need to understand this, that the government of this house is different. And it's going to require the people to be able to hear with their ears and understand with their hearts if they're going to be able to save their soul from interrupting God's destiny for people's lives. So I just want to encourage you. You see, there's going to be opportunity through the course of these meetings where you're going to run into where you've been fragmented in the past. And where you've been fragmented in the past is nothing more than the enemy waiting to find out whether or not he can get you to revisit your old actions instead of recognizing that the Lord wants to heal you so that you actually can help others recover where, you know, you at one time didn't act right.
Amen.
Right? I mean, isn't that right? I mean, you get healed. You get restored, you know, for a reason, and that's to help, not only help your life, but to help other people, you know, recover as well. So in chapter 18, and really before I get into chapter 18, just let me recall to your attention to something. Matthew 11 and verse 4, we know what's happened. We know that circumstances are now dictating to revelation. And I want to encourage you over the last, last month and in February, there just seems to be a little bit of an opposition right now. It's a subtle thing, but it's a weary thing. It's something that is trying to oppress. It's something that is trying to discourage because everybody came out of the chute this year with high expectation. Me included, okay? And when I ran into it about 3 weeks ago, I shared it with my intercessors. We have an intercessory prayer team. We're covering 25% of the nation right now with intercessors, and we are believing for an intercessor from every state in the country. And we're starting to do prayer summits now. And we're going into regions of the country, and we're bringing intercessors from coast to coast, and we're just locking in for a 3-day gathering and just, praying and travailing and just watching God move powerfully. So I shared it with them, and it's something that's happening across the board. But as I get to Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a message on Sunday that God does His best work in the dark. Okay. A lot of times when you can't see what's happening, Psalms 139 verses 11 and 12 says that day and night are the same to God. And there is a whole side to our walk with Him that most people never have fellowship with.
Come on.
All right, we're going to talk about this. And I'm not talking about, you know, dreams that you have because of a late night meal. Okay? I'm talking about a real communion that you can pay attention to. Okay? But we're going to progress in these things. And I think that it's an understanding. I think that what God's trying to bring us into is a double portion. Okay? Bring us into miracles is really what he's after. Because I just got to slow down and start putting it in, because I just want to jump. But in Matthew 11 in verse 4, we know what happens. There's a prophet that's in prison for all the wrong reasons. I'm not a John basher, but he's in prison for all the wrong reasons. His identity with Jesus is in such a contrast that he can't hardly believe that this is the Messiah because of the way Jesus was acting, and his assignment was so drastically different. This is where most people get hung up in transition. One movement looks completely different than the last season, and we can't hardly think that the new movement is actually God.
Come on.
How many realize that the wine is never the problem? It's the wineskin.
Right.
Are you listening? Okay? So we have to remember that if God's Alpha and Omega, then that means that I'm not called to change the future. The future is called to come after me and change me to comply to the future. You know, you and I are the ones that hold back the fullness of our walk with God. Okay? Y'all are a trip. But here's a reality, okay? So John sends to Jesus two disciples. Are you the Messiah or do we look for another? And Jesus said, go back and tell John this, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the dead are raised, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Now, this is a real problem because people can be in the presence of a bona fide miracle in the 21st century and go, and would you like to know why? Because they know in their hearts that to see that kind of manifestation, it's going to require a different lifestyle than they're willing to live. And this is the whole contrast of the kingdom and past movements, the whole contrast of the kingdom and the natural way of doing things, okay? But I'm telling you, somebody here tonight, a bone spur on the back of your heel is gone. Okay? I felt it. And what's happening and there's... Rabahashitai. Okay? Listen, and see what's happening in our meetings, and it's just not happening in our meetings, okay? We got a whiff of something and we're chasing it, okay? What's happening is God is healing people in praise and worship as a precursor to the miraculous.
That's right.
And there's a very simple formula here that is not complicated. But I like all this. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says that as these two disciples were going back to John, Jesus breaks out into an orator of what he thought John was. Never been a greater prophet born among women. What did you go out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothing? Men that wear fine clothing live in king's houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? And much more than a prophet. But the scripture says this. As they were leaving, Jesus was speaking what he thought John was, to be able for John's disciples to be able to hear him. You see, John had forgotten who Jesus was, but Jesus will never forget who you are. And he will always make sure that somebody hears what he thinks about you, regardless of how clouded your judgment can get.
Come on.
And this is why God sends prophets.
That's just really good.
Right? So God sends prophets, and all I'm going to do is just try and open your heart a little bit over the last couple of nights. Will that be all right?
Sure.
All I'm going to try and do is just introduce, because you've got to remember something, that the presence of God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. The presence of God will take you places that you can't take yourself. I am convinced that God is waiting for us to join him. And you know what the church does? The church wants God to come to them. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, if where we are is so special, then why are we trying to get God where we're at?
That's right.
Yeah. I got a feeling that where God is probably where he knows we need to be. I mean, I could be totally off about this. Okay? But I got a feeling that God has got you on his mind. And I'm going to try and tell you that the drought is over. I want you to know it's done, man. I've been waiting on something for 15 years. I've only had one open vision in 36 years of serving God. It was out on the West Coast. My son was standing next to me in the vision. He was my height. He's my height tonight. And it was 15 years ago. And what I saw was the glory of the Lord on all continents of the world. And mass revival was taking place. People were coming to Jesus by the groves. And where darkness actually held people, it no longer could hold them. I hope you do, because I want you to know that where the enemy has been successful in the mind and in the will and in the emotions, building strongholds based upon whatever has happened to you, a word spoken, a family raised in, you know, a situation beyond your control, a bankruptcy, a rape, whatever it might be. I'm telling you, this is the time to say goodbye to it. Okay? I just want you to know that. And you know, Joel tells us, he begins to prophesy, as long as there are generations in the earth, God's vow is to make sure that he pours out his spirit upon all flesh. And we have a generation in the earth today called the millennials that have never been around a real old-fashioned outpouring. But God's got them scheduled. I'm just letting you know, okay? And I'm telling you, friends, I firmly believe that 2018, and I'm going to give you some very solid facts tonight, 2018 is the year. It's just the threshold, okay? So with this in mind, of course, we know that there's a severe drought that's taking place. It's been there for 3.5 years, okay? But you know what I love? And in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 18, King Ahab says to Obadiah, he said, this thing is so severe, what we need to do is you need to go this way and I'll go that way in hopes that we can find some green grass. Always remember this. When you are on a sovereign journey that is going to completely blow up your destiny, it's normally a journey that you're going to have to take yourself. If you're looking for green grass, it's normally because you're going to have to be willing to travel this thing by yourself. All right? Because normally folk won't want to go where, you know, your heart says, I've got to go to actually be satisfied with the quest that burns in me. All right? So we know what happens. We know that there's a square off between 850 prophets, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of, crazy group here, the Asherah, and then we know that there's Elijah, 850-1. But you know, God never has a problem being a minority. And we know what happens. We know that they go through their routine, their ritual, nothing's happening. Elijah taunts and he pours some water on the sacrifice. And then this is what I love. What I love is the fire didn't fall until the evening sacrifice. Or basically, it's found in the book of Exodus, chapter 29, verse 41, where the evening sacrifice is spoken of as the sun was going down and it was dark. That's when God showed up. You have to remember in the mind of a Jew, as the sun goes down, it's not the end of the day, it's the beginning of the day. You have to remember that God was moving in the dark before he even began to form things. Okay, we'll get into all that on Sunday. But I'm trying to tell you that where most people are most dead to this world, they can be more alive to God than they realize. Okay? So we know that this thing is all dealt with in the dark. Okay? But by the time you get to verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is. Everybody shout, there is.
There is.
You have to remember that with God, there is always the substance of there is. Okay, there is the sound. And I'm telling you, this is what psalmists need to pay attention to. And I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm not trying to change anybody's administration. All I'm trying to do is just pitch a few thoughts. You can take it and run with it if you want, or you can completely discard it if you'd like, okay? But hear my heart in this. We're in a time where the sound is different. Okay? Now, I get around people and they think that they understand what a sound is. Okay? But a sound is nothing more than an echo when it first starts. And what I don't want to be around is something that's been echoing for a while. What I want to be around is something that is echoing for the first time. Because that has got a distinction that appeals to a certain crowd. Now, this thing that's been echoing for a while has been appealing to the generation that it was sent into the earth to appeal to. Okay? But the sound that is being released right now, it's a sound that is a frequency that is designed to appeal to a generation that needs to hear it for themselves differently. And the cool thing about it is if you got ears to hear, you can be in on this frequency.
Come on.
Okay? So there's a sound. And I got around a psalmist about 2.5 years ago, and he got up to lead praise and worship, and he just released an album, and he started singing a song that he had just wrote, and it was rough, man. It just was awkward. It didn't feel right. And the Holy Ghost checked me, and he said, "You better be careful." He said, "That's the sound of the next movement." And I began to realize that what didn't appeal to me was nothing more than an unrenewed state that I was in that was trying to keep me from a sound that was going to introduce me to something.
Come on.
And one of the problems that most people have is they are not comfortable with the presence of God. Okay, you see, our objective as a psalmist, our objective is to not go through a list of songs. Our objective is to find the song that God is in.
Right.
Now, once you find where God is, just stay there.
Right.
You don't have to fulfill the list out of obligation. You don't have to fill time. What God wants to do is God wants you to find where He is, find out what He's in, and then let Him allow Him to host you and bring you to a place of you hosting Him.
Yes.
Now, that's what will compel men to be saved.
That's right. That's
what will deliver the captives. That's what will heal to the uttermost. So in our pursuit of a sound, let's recognize, and really, to be honest with you, there's a real movement right now of people trying to tune their instruments to a different frequency. Okay? Not quite sold on it because, you know, like anything else, there can be, well, I'll talk about it in just a minute. There can be a little bit of a counterfeit, maybe, I mean, a little bit of a soulish thing that is really tainting the whole spiritual approach to the thing. All I'm pitching right now is there is just a different frequency and that is calling us to be committed to a different action on the behalf of the present generation. And the cool thing about it is if you'll do this, and no matter how old you are, you'll always be in on what is new. Okay? So we have to remember that God sends generations into the church to save the church from itself. If you're willing to stay progressive. Are we okay? So this prophet, he's hearing a sound. And that sound is the sound of the abundance of rain. A drought was being put to an end. Okay? And this is very interesting to me. And the Bible says in verse 42, and Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. I don't have time to go there, all right? But there's something about going to the top of a mountain, all right? Mountaintop experiences, all right? How many realize that in Exodus 24 and verse 12, God said to Moses, come up and be with me, and I will give you. There's something about being where God is. Actually, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, the scripture says that Saul was looking for the wealth that he had lost, his daddy's wealth that he had lost. And his armor bearer said, well, if there's anybody that can help us retrieve it, it's a prophet. So they went looking for Samuel, and some women were coming off the mountain, and they said, well, we're looking for the prophet. And this is what they said. The prophet is on the mountaintop blessing the feast because the people can't eat until the prophet blesses it. What I'm trying to tell you is there's certain meals that you'll never have until the prophet blesses it. Okay. You'll catch up with that, hopefully. In fact, the reality of the matter is this. If a prophet is connected to an apostle, that apostle will never be assassinated.
Amen.
And this is the problem. The problem is that people don't understand the whole relationship, okay? They prophets have got to understand this. They have got to be strong in the dimension that they're strong in until the apostle can finally straighten out what an apostle is supposed to look like. Because prophets don't give a rip.
Amen.
Prophets will die for a cause. Okay? And we've got to get apostolic mindsets out of being Sauls and get them into being Davids. Saul says, well, what do the people say? Saul says, what's popular? David says, I just want to be in the presence of God. I just want to be a man after God's own heart. I just want to serve my generation from the will of God. Okay? So that's all free information.
That was good.
And watch, the Bible says, then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. You know, there was a day where I could do that. But I want you to see three postures of the prophet. Number one, this posture that this prophet is in, what he's saying is, I have nothing to do with what's going on. I have nothing to do with what's getting ready to marinate the earth. God give us some preachers that will not take credit for what God and God alone can do. Number two, basically this position was this. He had a heart of gratitude for what the earth was about ready to be alleviated from. Now that's compassion. Come on, are you listening? How many realize that loyalty can be commanded, but loyalty is really birthed out of love? Are you listening? Okay? That's the truth. Okay? You can make people be, loyal, but I would rather people be in love with God to the degree that they're loyal because they love you and they love God.
Come on.
Amen? Whole different world, wouldn't you agree? And number three, we have to remember that this posture that this prophet finds himself in is a posture of recognizing authority. In certain cultures, people bow as an act of recognition to authority. Okay? So this prophet's saying this has nothing to do with me. I am nothing but a man full of gratitude concerning what God is about ready to release the earth from, and I'm honoring God in the middle of it. Kind of sounds like fun, doesn't it? Okay, now watch what happens. And he said to his servant, you see, you got to remember that you can't tell this stuff to people that don't have a servant's heart. All right? You know, I had a young man in my life, and he's kind of a distant relationship now. And this is what he said. He said, I don't look at the small things. I look at the big picture. And I said, that's the whole reason why you'll never get to the big picture. I said, you got to remember that where you have resisted me, God will send people to resist you to finally get that work done if it's even able to be accomplished.
Come on.
Okay? So we have to remember that being faithful in little is character building to be faithful in much. Right? So this the scripture says that he sends his servants and he says, go now and look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. But you got to remember that the prophet's hearing something. Go back and tell John the things that you hear, the things that you see. If the prophet is hearing it, I'll guarantee you, you are destined to see it. But you got to understand that it's going to require something out of you. I know people don't like to hear this accountability, responsibility stuff. I know these are curse words in church, but let me tell you something. Nothing worthwhile is just, you're going to have to pay a price for it. That's just the way it is. Okay. So the scripture says, and he says, there's nothing. And seven times the prophet said this. He said, go again. Seven is the number of completion. You've got to send people that have it in their heart that I want to finish this thing. There are some things all over this nation that are unfinished. And I'm telling you, there is a wave of people right now that have finishing on their mind. It's time for everybody in this room to finish some things. Okay? But you just can't send anybody to the mountaintop. You got to send people like Joseph. Psalms 105 verses 19 through 22 says this, everything that happened to Joseph was nothing more than the word challenging and testing him. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to let you know that the oppositions of this life are nothing more than them. The demonic showing you concerning the word that has been spoken about you. But listen, in the process of this challenge, you're going to get developed. You're going to get matured. How many realize that Joseph was not ready to be in second command of Egypt when he was, telling his brothers, I had a dream last night and your haystacks were bowing down to mine.
Come on,
right? He wasn't ready to be in second in command when he rolled up on his brothers at another time and said, hey man, you like my swag? Look at this coat of many colors. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready even when they tried to kill him and throw him in a pit. Then one greedy one spoke up and said, hey, sell him, into that caravan that's heading into Egypt, bought him to Potiphar's house. And then all of a sudden, what happens? He's framed again and then thrown into prison. He still wasn't ready. But the scripture says that God remembered Joseph. He remembered what he said to Joseph. He remembered what he said about Joseph. And the word was testing Joseph. I want you to know, my friends, that I believe that there have been some people that have passed some word tests. I want you to know, friends, that God has not forgotten, just like John the Baptist, God has not forgotten what he knows about you. Your best days are still waiting on you.
Come on.
Hoorah. Amen. Are you listening? I want to encourage you tonight, all right? Because there's got to be somebody in place that is able to interpret what's going on when everybody else can't find resolutions. And it's not just about, us saving the world. Normally, it's about God maturing you to the degree of being able to save everybody that tried to kill you.
Uh-oh.
Right? That's when you know that you're ready to be a leader. When you have been betrayed, but yet still there is a passion in you to try and save the person that tried to assassinate you.
Come on.
Right?
That's good.
Okay. So we know what happens. He's the 11th born among 12. 11 is the biblical number of disorder. The man was actually prophetically called to point out the disorder that existed not only in Egypt, but also existed in his own home, and then have the maturity to be able to save both arenas. God give us some people that are not just looking for an experience, but are looking for a lifestyle. Can I tell you one of the greatest reasons why there's not more manifestation? It's because people are not living the lifestyle. Romans 11 and 29 says the gifts and callings are without repentance. Everybody wants to claim that verse of scripture as meaning some kind of lifelong calling that they could go to the grave with, when that is not what Paul is talking. Read the entire chapter of the 11th chapter of Romans. It's all about repentance. So the word gift is actually the Greek word mean manifestation. And the word calling is the Greek word that actually means lifestyle. So if your lifestyle is not manifesting the kingdom, then you might want to just do a little checkup. You might need repentance.
Go ahead.
Okay? I'm just saying. And the scripture says,
in my spirit, I put money in that bag.
The scripture says, then it came to pass the seventh time, and Psalmist, you just were all up in this. I thought to myself, I could just take my wife and go home. And he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. And he said, go and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. You see, this is what prophets are designed to do. They are designed to train humanity to outrun the things of life. They will posture you in the future. And you won't be playing catch up. You'll be prepared for moments. In fact, you'll already be in the moment and then being matured for the manifestation of the moment before you even get to it. Okay? It's that whole Alpha and Omega thing, all right? But let me encourage you with a thought. Scripturally speaking, we are symbolic to clouds. And I want to point out to you that this cloud the size of a man's fist was not the cloud that was carrying the rain. Everybody wants to preach this cloud the size of a man's fist as meaning the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. Well, that's great, okay? I can roll with that, all right? But I want you to pay attention to this because the fivefold ministry is really kingdom driven, all right? Really, if I have a subtitle, it would be 2018 is the year of the saints. Because clouds are symbolic to saints, okay? And according to the scripture, it is the clouds that are carrying the rain.
Come on.
All right? So let's pay attention to this. Are you hearing me? I want to encourage you. We have to remember, I'm just going to kind of scroll here. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, but here's the one you got to watch out for, Jude verse 12. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, laid on them trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. I don't want to be a cloud like that. You know, these are the people that always got answers for you, but they're bumming $5 off of you to be able to get bread and a little bit of gas to get through the week. Right? I don't want to be around people like that. I want to be around people that are actually carrying something. They can bring something to the table. Are you hearing me? Okay. Proverbs 16 verse 15 says that in the light of the king's face is life. Hid favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. I'm telling you, there's something tucked in you that you don't know about. There's a God that we serve that knows things about us that we don't know about ourselves yet. This is the whole reason why I've got to live going forward. Yeah, today was wonderful, but God's got something waiting for me in my night sleep tonight. And when I wake up tomorrow, and then in my night sleep a day from now, and then when I wake up after that. Okay, we're the ones that actually put a lid on this thing. Okay, so Zechariah 10:1 says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. Just high-five your neighbor and say, that means you. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everybody. Everybody shout, my grass can stay green.
My grass can stay green.
All the time. You see, you know what's really wild about it is normally when you're in a prophetic season, there's always some false information that will always crop up to try and get people distracted. I am so glad that you and I made it through September 23rd of 2017. You know, when that asteroid belt was supposed to wipe out a third of mankind, whoo, we dodged that bullet. Right? But how about understanding that a month later, it was the 500th year of the date of Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation. I'm telling you, friends, I'm going to bring you into some timing here, okay? Let me just use some scriptures to help illustrate the timing that we find ourselves in, all right? Now, I'm going to use some scriptures that are speaking of an advent that is still in the future, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. The scripture says that Jesus is coming in the clouds. Now, I made an announcement on Facebook that 2018, that Jesus was coming in 2018, and the nation went ballistic.
Oh, my God, I saw that. I'm like, what did you do?
I didn't say that Jesus was coming back.
No.
I said that Jesus was coming in the clouds. Now, if I am biblically symbolic to clouds, and I'm the one that's carrying the rain that's going to put an end to the drought, I got a feeling that Jesus is coming in the clouds. I'm just saying, all right? Revelation 1 and 7 says this, that Jesus is coming with the clouds. Matthew 24 and verse 30, now this is something completely different, that Jesus is coming on the clouds of heaven, Okay, I get that. But I'm telling you, friends, that you are targeted this year to release the rain that is in you so that the earth can yield a harvest, a revival, a move of God. James chapter 5 and verse 7 says that the farmer patiently waits. Patiently waits for the latter rain. Now, some of you have been sitting in church for 30 years listening to the pulpit when the pulpit is supposed to be preparing the pew for the work of the ministry, and you've been wishing that somebody would turn you loose. Now, I think that it's important that you don't get turned loose just to do your own thing. I think it's important that you get turned loose with the understanding of what you're being turned loose for, okay? So you don't need to be your own worst detriment because you have rebellion in you. How many realize that your flesh is something that you're going to be with all your life? That rebellion is never going to go away. But you can save your mind, your will, and your emotions from the rebellion of your flesh. Just keep it in the harmony of your spirit. Okay? So let's understand this. Prophetically, 2015, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the bear is out of hibernation and wants to move south. I knew immediately he was speaking of Russia. And 3 weeks later, all of a sudden, Russia moves military forces into Syria. Okay? We know what happened. It set off a chain of reaction here. And there's a point to my madness tonight. Okay? Here's, because these are the reality of the facts. This is something that has happened, and this is something that is happening, whether we like it or not. Last year, I spent a year with a born-again, spirit-filled rabbi. Now, anytime you preach from the Old Testament, you better be on point. Are you listening? And this man kept concurring that this is not only happening in Israel, but prophetically, he believed that we're destined for the moment that we find ourselves in. And I'm going to tell you the whole reason why you're carrying what you're carrying. Okay, the whole reason why the drought is over. The whole reason why the pulpit has got to quit being so pulpish-ish and start releasing the pew. Okay, I'm so tired of this self-attraction because it is such an anti-spirit concerning what God really wants to, you know, accomplish in the lives of the people. Okay, and then 2016, July 15th of 2016, a coup breaks out in Turkey, and this is nothing more than Ezekiel 38 verses 1-3. Turkey is the trigger to Armageddon. Whenever Armageddon is going to happen, it is the prophetic trigger. What I'm suggesting is this: the Chinese move military forces into Syria right after the Russians. We know the Pope came to Washington. Putin came to Washington. Everybody wants to give Trump a black eye with his so-called affiliation with Russia, whatever. I mean, Obama hosted these people in the White House. Okay? All right? I don't want to get into that, man. But anyways. And then all of a sudden, the Chinese president comes. Right? And I want you to understand that these military forces are there for a reason. And I'm telling you, the coup broke out in 2016 in July, all because of the angelic spirits that are in the earth right now, maneuvering nations and getting them ready for end time prophecy. Right. You have to remember that they are ministering spirits sent to minister the heirs of salvation. That's you and me. And while they are on heaven's maneuvers, we better utilize their presence.
Come on, come on.
Now, I can't tell them what to do. All I can do is recognize what's going on and then make a choice to be a participant of what God is asking me to do. This is what sets it all in motion. Okay? So I think that we can get to a point of just being obedient to the degree that we don't even have to ask God for something. Because really what we're after is we're not after what we want, we're after what He's doing. How many realize that a kingdom person, you never have to tell no? Okay? Because a kingdom person never has selfish ambition. Just a thought. Okay, I'm trying to find you. All right? But I'm telling you that just like Cyrus in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2, prophesied about 2 centuries before he lived. It's a shadow and type of where the church is concerning what Jesus did at Calvary. Israel's deliverance from Babylonian captivity. Okay? Isaiah 44 is in play right now. Isaiah 45 is in play right now. We have to remember that Acts 3, verse 19 is in play as well. The heavens, Jesus must be withheld in the heavens until all things are restored. What's going on? I'm telling you, friends, that what happened, what President Trump did in the nation of Israel at the end of last year, establishing Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel, was monumental. It was historic, okay? Now, we have to remember that they, from 1948 to the present day year, 2018, they are now in their 70th year as being a reestablished nation. Okay, 70 is the biblical number of deliverance and restoration. Deliverance and restoration. Why is Jesus coming in the clouds? I'll tell you why. Because in 1948, when they got reestablished as a nation, the whole reason why Jerusalem is the capital city right now is because they can no longer be sold out now. They've got identity that sticks.
Come on.
The peg has been driven. Are you listening? I want to encourage you. In the eyes of God, God has always looked at Jerusalem as being His place, His house. Okay? But the fact of the matter is when they were established as a nation once again in 1948, all of a sudden a ripple effect, it went across the world. In 1948, the healing evangelist came on the scene. A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, Jack Cole, Catherine Kuhlman. Anytime God does something great for the motherland, it releases a rippling effect through the entire body. Are you listening? They are in their 70th year. We are in the time of restoration and deliverance. We are in the time where the saints that understand what's going on is putting an end to the drought that has existed too long. Are you hearing me? 1967, what happened? The Six-Day War with Egypt. God intervenes, spares the motherland. He releases another revival move of His Spirit in the earth. The charismatic renewal broke out. I'm here to tell you that if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, 2018 is nothing more than a year of restoration and deliverance, a rippling effect sent from heaven to bring revival to the world.
Come on.
And you and I are the ones that are carrying the rain. It's the facts. This is not me hypothetically speaking. It's the facts. Now, how does this happen? It happens by you being a person that loves His presence.
Come on.
Here's the thing. Can we be a people that will come into the church, come into the house of God, come into your prayer closet, wherever you meet with God, come into church and host Him and be with Him in such a way that He can finally penetrate what needs to be penetrated. Because there's a lot of people that worship at a distance. They're not going to get too close. Because it means that they know in their heart that they're going to have to change their lifestyle. Okay? But let me ask you something. Don't you think that God knew who to have living in such a time as this? You're not here by mistake. You were hand-selected to live in such a time as this. Acts 17, Deuteronomy chapter 32. We can go on and on and on. God selected you and you have a sphere of influence. Where you live, there is an authority ready to break out.
Come on. Must be God.
Isaiah 62 verses 6 and 7 says this, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord and do not keep silent and give Him no rest till He establishes, until He makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. It's exactly what's happening. And I'm telling you, the commitment of God is not resting. In fact, the love of God is so strong, it will chase you down at whatever cost. Are you listening? And you know what? And see, this is all this Jesus, and everybody just gets, I just want a nice church service. I want a church service that makes me grow hair.
That's worth it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But listen, Matthew 21, Jesus said this. Jesus, he saw that, you know, I'm just going to tell you straight up, he saw what was going on and he drove out all that bought and sold. I got a feeling that if God was really in the house, a lot of things that go on would never go on. Are you listening? And all you and I have to do is just dare to get close to this, because there is something. This is the key. Praise and worship is the key right now. Okay. Now I know that a lot of people want to buck this whole thing, but I'm telling you that praise and worship is more important than the preaching of the word. Okay. Because if people do not get close enough to God, then what good is it to preach revelatory information? Doesn't make any sense. Okay, you got to get people in an atmosphere where they can finally get their soul out of the way, get their hearts open, and really begin to worship God in such a way that by the time, and a lot of times they don't even need a sermon after that. Okay, so Jesus was doing something here when he saw what was going on in the house, and he went in and he drove out all that bought and sold, and he said, "Have you not heard that my house shall be called a house of?" That's not what that word means. The weakest definition that you'll find for that word prayer is in the Strong's Concordance. And even in its weakest definition, it still means praise. And everybody wants to fight this. Fight this. Fight this. Are you aware that you weren't created to pray? You were created to worship. In fact, if you really understand worship, it's the highest form of prayer anyways. Come on, everybody, well, let's just pray. When God's given you the garment of praise,
come on.
Prophecy ain't going to run the spirit of heaviness off. Preaching's not going to do it. Praying's not going to do it. But the minute you praise, all of a sudden, heaviness starts coming off of you. Despair starts coming off of you. I mean, hopelessness starts coming off of you. You were created to worship, and it's one of the hardest things for people to do. And can I tell you that you don't have to be a perfectionist at worship. Even if you clap on the first and the third beat, or the second and the fourth beat, or I got a friend that the brother can't clap at all. I call him No Rhythm Harvey. But I'm telling you, he will mess you up. He's always singing the last word that was sung while the next word's being sung. And if you worship next to Harvey, you're just messed up. But you know what? I don't have a problem worshiping next to Harvey, because he even makes up words for songs. You know why I don't have a problem with it? It's because before Christ, he was ate up with cancer, and now he's totally healed. Before Christ, his marriage was in the toilet, and it's still in a process of working some things out. Before Christ, he was a raging alcoholic, but he has been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. I don't care how the man praises. Don't matter to me. But you know, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of praise. And then watch this. Then all of a sudden, the same thing that happened tonight when that man got healed of that bone spur, and there were some other things, you might want to just check your body before you go home. Same thing happened in this place tonight, okay? Especially when she hit where she hit that song where God was. You don't need to go anywhere else. Once you find out where he is, ride that horse until it's done. I know that's a little old school. But old school is better than no school. Isn't that right? Okay. So the fact, glory to God Almighty. You know, you're such a teacher of the word. And it's almost like you don't got a platform. But I'm telling you, sissy, That gift is still alive and well, okay? And I want to encourage you. You know, the you got notebooks full of stuff that people have forgotten about, but God did not forget about it. When he said it, he meant it. And you wrote it down and you took it to heart. And listen to me. You're getting ready to revisit some old waste places. And they're not going to be old waste places. They're going to be a restart, a rebooting. Okay? Your ministry gets activated afresh tonight. Amen. Rain is in you.
Come on.
Rain is in you. And I know that you want to release it. You just, it's almost like you just don't have anybody to release it to. That's all going to change too. Okay? Because you've tried to organize gatherings, and people would get all excited about it at first, and then they just start to unravel. I'm telling you, there is a gathering that God is going to give you that is not going to be just a gathering. It's going to be a movement. It's going to grow.
Come on.
Okay? All right? Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where was I? Where was I? Yeah. That's what you say when you don't know what else to say in English, you know? But, you know, I want to just encourage you because this is the truth, what's happening. Then all of a sudden he says, my house shall be called a house of praise. And then he starts healing everybody. And if we can understand what's going on, God will start healing people when they come in here and then take it to the degree that of who he really is. He's a miracle worker. And they're appointed in the church because I think what he's really after is giving us back the authority over the final act of sin. All right, I'm going to pitch it over here. I think that what he's really after is giving the church back the understanding and the implication or the application of authority over the final act of sin. Because when he leaves this moment, he goes 2 miles east to Bethany, where a guy was living by the name of Lazarus.
Come on. Come on.
I'm just saying. Okay? I'm just saying that historically, the time couldn't be any better. I'm just saying that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And 2018 is a targeted year. I'm just saying that the cloud that came off the sea, the size of a man's fist, was not the ones that was carrying the rain. The one that was carrying the rain, oh, come on, y'all. The ones that were, 1 Kings 8 and verse 12, God comes in a dark cloud. Okay? The clouds that were carrying the rain were the ones that came after the cloud that came off the sea, the size of a man's fist. Or listen, you're only going to be as great as the leadership of this ministry empowers you to be. And some of you have been screaming for opportunity. And now, tag, you're it.
There it is.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what we have right now is we have a great opportunity. A great opportunity. I'm not missing it. Okay? I'm just not going to do it. I know what God is saying. I know how the system works. And I'm not interested in being part of the system. I'm interested in being part of the kingdom. Okay? Because I'm telling you, there are people out there that are hungry for authenticity. They're hungry for real manifestation. Okay? That's what they're hungry for. All right? So I'm just going to stop right now. All right? Because I've been preaching for about 45 minutes, and I think that that's long enough. All right? Tomorrow night, I'm just going to tell you, tomorrow night, you're not going to want to miss this. The Lord said to me at the first of the year, he said, I want to speak to my people differently in 2018. I want to talk to them different. Are you ready to hear God differently? It'll be the very key that unlocks the treasure that lives in you. Okay? And he said to me, he said, son, when a relationship matures, the communication in that relationship has got to first mature. So tomorrow night, we're going to settle some sonship. Some of you just think you're sons. But I'm here to tell you, everybody thinks that roots of bitterness come from trauma, when really they come from a lack of correct information and understanding. That's the whole reason why people can't handle rebuke and instruction. And they end up fragmented and illegitimate with a root of bitterness, all because they are void of the understanding and the information that God needed to communicate to us that we didn't understand, and we handled the situation incorrectly, and now we're sitting on the sidelines with some kind of beef. Okay? And we got to get this stuff out of our soil, y'all. I'm telling you that the people that are coming to this church are going to have different hearts, and they're going to have different ears. They're going to have a different understanding, and they're going to carry out a different function. Amen. Are you listening? And you might as well just choose to be on board.
Yeah.
All right? So, you know, really, I mean, listen, the bottom line is if you can't be rebuked. Now, everybody, I know these are real strong words, like, you know, rebuke and chasten and holiness and sanctification. You know, people handle these words that especially, you got to be careful with control freaks, because they're going to want to control you and manipulate you through an incorrect understanding. Okay, but these are all words out of the divine nature of God. Okay. You guys are funny. And because people don't have an understanding of these words, they end up offended. Okay? Well, that's not what's going on. If you can't be teachable, you can't be trusted. And a lot of people don't understand that they're living on the other side of emotions that they can't trust. They are. And it's all because of a misunderstanding when it comes to the correct information of instruction. Okay? I want to be a son. You know, anytime the Lord's ever rebuked me, even though it was direct and even though it was pinpoint, there was hope all in it. No condemnation. Okay? So I want to be corrected when I'm wrong. I want to feel like I'm the only one in the building. Even though the building's full. Like the sermon's been tailor-made for me. You know what I mean? These are the things I want, because I want to find out whatever is causing me to not get into the best that God has. Because the problem isn't with God. The problem was with us. How we've been shaped. The things that we've been through. It is time for people to quit being illegitimate. Man, I'm telling you, I got cornered in a hotel room in October, and I laid in the middle of my bed just sobbing, and the Lord just kept telling me, "You're an illegitimate son." And I said, "God," I said, "I don't understand." He said, "That's exactly right. Let me help you." And a whole world opened up. And I'm telling you, the heaven gutted me. And if we could just get to this place of being solid and secure, we wouldn't have to run around and try and impress people. I can be in the middle of a room of rocket scientists and me not know anything about physics and still be just as, you know, solid and as worthy and as needed as anybody else in the room, because I know I'm a son. I know that person has a gift, just like I have something, okay? Not a competition thing, but I am so solidified by correct understanding that maybe for the first time, my foundation's right.
Come on.
We're going to talk, and I hope you're ready to be a living sacrifice. I'm just going to say, you dare to come tomorrow night. Oh, Jesus, help me. Amen, because my Band-Aid days are over. You. let me pray for you tonight. Can I pray for you tonight? You're a cloud carrying rain, and you're ready to release yourself on the earth. Is that you?
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.